morning. For the focus topic this time, we submitted the written report, which gave a summary of the transition service programs and the work we've been up to. But for the presentation today, we have arranged some students who have been participants in the programs throughout the year to share their experiences. So I would like to hand it over to Jess Beecham, who will be introducing these students as they share their experiences.
Second and make our way up here. All right.
And there is an open room. There's your place if you want to have a seat while we're taking turns presenting.
So just back up, Abby, if you would.
Just a little bit.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Thank you guys so much for having us here to talk about the amazing transition services provided by the Nebraska Commission for the Blind. I think they're among some of the best transition services in the United States. I don't think anybody can argue with that. And we, as JB&K Services, who does contracting services to provide some of those transition programming, are so honored to be able to be a part of a commission that truly believes in the capacity of blind people and truly invests in the future of blind youth. And so we've got students who are going to talk to you a little bit about some of the programs. And so I know that first we have Andrew and Tommy, if you guys want to come up, who are going to talk a little bit about some of the Winterfest programming, which is some of the programming that takes place a couple times a year, usually in the fall and in the spring, and covers a lot of the pre-ets categories and really gives students the opportunity to take a weekend and dig deep into a lot of those job development, independence development skills. So they're going to tell you a little bit about their experiences in those programs. So one of you can come up first.
Well, the board is over here.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Thomas. I like the music Winterfest. It was pretty good. I mean, it helped me learn more about music and how to, I guess, use it and do it, I guess. And then the other Winterfest with the bacteria and how to make, what was it again? It was the yogurt and the milk. And then the, I forgot the other one. I like that one a lot. Same with the thermometer and all the other cool equipment. Me personally, this year was really good for me. I liked all the cool stuff. I'm a cool guy with cool stuff. Oh, no, I didn't go to the 3D printer.
Awesome. I didn't feel good that week.
So Andrew, do you want to come on up next?
Yes.
All right.
There you go.
Just flip around.
Or actually, I guess you could turn this way. I'm sorry, commissioners. I guess we're speaking the wrong direction, or I was.
So my name is Andrew. I love the Winterfest. My first one was in the fall, the accessible 3D designing and printing one. I found that to be so awesome. I was able to obtain a 3D printer from that program and quite enjoy printing to this day. And I've even designed some things using OpenSCAD, which was one of the programs recommended for accessibly doing that. And then in the spring, the Winterfest will be learning about like food science and like making the yogurt from milk and the yogurt bacteria and sauerkraut and all that. I'm using the LabQuest to accessibly use all those sensors. That was pretty cool. I've never done anything like that before. And it was a wonderful opportunity to learn how all that scientific stuff works. Thank you.
And it was the two Winterfest programs this year were so amazing to get to see students engaging in 3D printing and engaging in science and in writing essays. There was an essay contest so that students could take home the 3D printers that were purchased to to facilitate the program, and so seven students got to leave with 3D printers, and Andrew even brought his with him to Wages and has been actively printing all summer while he's been in Wages. So next, that's I think a great transition to our work and gain experience in the summer program. And so first, we're going to have Addison Johnson, who is one of our longtime veterans, come up here. She's been in the Wages program for 5 summers. So Addie, why don't you come up here and talk to us about Wages?
So Wages was pretty fun. So it was, you had to do work. So I worked at the Habitat Restore, and my job there was to unload carts and get a massage during break time and straighten up stuff, like books and all that stuff. So one of my favorite challenge activities was Six Flags in the water park in Tree Rush. So I had lots of fun at Six Flags riding all coasters with you guys. And so, and I even tried out the green, Screech Owl green course at Tree Rush. Oh my gosh, it was so hot and fun.
Tell us about some of the independent skills you've learned.
So my independent skills were doing laundry, carrying my own tray in the cafeteria, and keeping my room clean and keeping up with my stuff.
Yeah. And how are you at keeping up with your stuff on year one?
So I like to put every stuff in my purse. And
yeah, you've gotten really good at that over the years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Big, big, big improvements. Awesome. Thank you, Addie.
You're welcome.
All right. So next, we are going to have Austin Hano come up, and he is going to talk about his experience with Wages.
Hello. Hello, my name is Austin Hano. This is my first full year of Wages. I've learned quite a few things, like navigating myself on transits and getting myself to work. I've learned social skills. I've learned independent living, living with roommates, and trying to keep a good bond with them so they don't get mad at me. Some things I did get the opportunity to do while in Wages was like going to Six Flags, paint yourself silly. I had never done that before. It was a great experience.
So I'm going to tell a funny story about Austin. He really came out of his shell from last summer, and he's been just talking up a storm. He told me, you know, one of his favorite things about work was talking to everybody, and he has come out of his shell so much that we were doing our end-of-the-year scavenger hunt, and everybody had to record an interesting sound. And so he went up to a lady at Hy-Vee and asked her if she would make an interesting sound for his recording. Apparently she didn't understand the assignment. So we don't have that sound to share, but I think it's a great example of that Austin is really he's really confident. He's really confident and has grown so much. And so next we have Luke Vaca. And so I am going to voice Luke's message today to you guys, if that is all right with everyone. So Luke says, "Hello, I'm Luke Vaca. This is my first year in Wages. I got the opportunity to work at K9 Design. The skills I learned was time management. For example, clean the baths before the dog room. Then, the way I think I have grown is that I got more confident in talking and doing things on my own and pushing myself to do new things. The things I enjoyed about Wages was the people that I met and having the opportunity to be independent. And the activities I enjoyed were paint yourself silly and improv. And the final challenge, which that was our scavenger hunt that we had. My plans after Wages is to go to Gallaudet University to study social work." So as you can see, students really gain the opportunity to not only learn those fundamental job skills, but to gain those independent skills that you have to live independently and to work independently, and also gain confidence through lots of challenge activities. And we had oh, goodness gracious, I'm forgetting the number, but we had quite a number of blind staff members this year. And so through both the experience of going to National Convention as well as participating with our blind adult role models throughout the program, students have a great opportunity to interact with lots of blind role models and practice their advocacy skills. And so it's truly a great program, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have, or I'm sure students would also be happy to answer questions.
I have a question. This is Cheryl.
Okay.
I just kind of wondered what were some of the things that were printed out on the 3D printer?
Oh, Andrew, here.
Some of the things that I printed, I printed a very cool phone and watch stand. There's like a place for your phone and like a little circular depression for like a watch charger.
Cool.
And I've used that at like when I work remotely at the Capitol this summer at Wages to just have everything organized. Another thing I tried to print, but it didn't quite go as planned, was a dragon. I think it was some like Chinese something dragon. I partially printed, but still need to figure out why parts of it didn't come out properly. And then, let's see, some other things I printed are this thing called a Caesar cipher ring. And basically it's a ring with two sets of the alphabet in Braille on it. And when you turn the top ring, it clicks. And Caesar cipher is like an encryption method that they used to use 2,000 years ago.
Wow.
Awesome.
Thank
you,
Andrew.
That's
pretty cool.
And so I apologize for forgetting our number of blind staff, but it's 8. And so 8 out of 22 of our staff were blind staff. And that doesn't include JJ and myself. So lots of blind role models around. Any other questions for you, for the crew here?
No.
I have one question.
Yes, sir.
Can I get a mic or?
Yes. Hold on.
I have a question. I'm curious if those who came to the Winter Fest and work on different technology like the 3D, the experiments, if you were exposed to any of that in your schools. This is the first time.
All right, so I'm going to bring this back. And so for any of you guys who participated in Winterfest, had you been exposed to those kinds of things in school, or was it your first time?
First time.
Hold on. Okay, so we'll pass the mic down the row. So had you been exposed to any of that stuff before, Luke?
No.
At school?
Yeah,
like have you been exposed to like 3D printing at school and accessible science at school?
Not that much.
Luke said not that much.
Okay.
Andrew?
So I've kind of been exposed to it. We used to have like family consumer science classes that had slightly older 3D printers than what we saw at Winterfest, but I did not know how to accessibly 3D print. I just knew a little about them.
Awesome. And the staff, I'm assuming, at school weren't able to teach that quite the same as you learned it, right? Or
yeah.
I'm guessing? Yeah. Okay. Austin?
No. I didn't get that. So.
Addie?
No. My mom 3D prints.
Awesome.
Sadly, unfortunately, no.
Awesome. Any other questions?
Yeah, who was the teacher, I guess, who was doing the 3D printing?
So there were two instructors, and their names were... I'm going to let you tell their company information. Charles actually organized this crew to come in.
As Charles Anderson. So the two instructors were Thomas Madura, that's M-A-D-U-R-A, and then Carol Christensen were the other ones. I attended the CSUN conference. It would have been in the March before that fall, so this would have been the conference in 25. And they did a presentation. They've done this 3D printing camp with multiple different states around the country as part of a grant program. They were doing research on STEM exposure to students. And I saw the presentation, and I thought it sounded really cool, so I went up to them after the presentation and said, hey, I'm from Nebraska with the Commission for the Blind. I'd really like to talk to you guys after the conference and see if we can work something out where you can come to Nebraska and do your camp with us. And so they got in communication with them after the conference and set things up, and then that's how it all came about, that we were able to get them out to Nebraska to run the 3D camp with us last fall. So Tom is a professor in California, and Carol actually works for NASA as a physicist there.
Thank you, Jones. Any other questions?
I have a question. So, for the wages participants, what is the one thing above all that you think you'd take away from wages this year?
Number one takeaway, Luke.
Confidence,
says Luke. Andrew?
I would say, yeah, confidence, and but my biggest thing was probably learning how to more efficiently problem solve.
I would say independence.
Independence, confidence, and fearful.
Being less fearful?
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
Independence without a job coach this year.
Awesome.
Any other questions? Thank you so much for your time, commissioners.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next thing we have on the agenda is the Client Assistant Program, or CAP, complaints or issues. Okay, one second.
Okay. In the report I got was something happened in the summer because VR and the Commission for the Blind got more complaints. There were three no formal complaints, but it mainly had to do with miscommunication. One of them has to deal with a consumer who we already paid before to attend the National Convention for Consumer Organization. This person wanted to attend again and wanted the agency to pay for it, and we said no, we are not, because we already paid for it according to the policy, is to expose blind people to know the importance of being around consumer organizations, but that we are not about paying all the time. We do understand the importance of people going all the time, but that's not the role of the commission. In fact, this was also discussed maybe 15 or 12 years ago in a previous commissioner's meeting. So that was one. The other one was about a client wanted a new counselor. The client did have a new counselor, but wasn't informed, so that's solved. But again, it's miscommunication. And the other one has to do similar, you know, just miscommunication about timely services. Those were the three ones.
Okay, thank you, Carlos. Do we have any questions from the board or anything regarding the CAPs?
I just have a brief question.
Yep.
So these concerns that were raised with the commission, Carlos, were they resolved just with working with the client, or did they go any further than, visiting with the client and telling them what the rules are and those kinds of things?
Sure.
Yeah, all of them were resolved, but the one about the attending the consumer convention, the client assistance program, she believes that she supports us or our decision, but the consumer was asking for more information on how to appeal that in the future.
Okay.
We did provide that information to that person.
Okay.
So we don't know if that's the end of it or the person would like to challenge our policy.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the board? Hearing none, next thing on the agenda is the NFB Newsline update. And we actually have our Newsline coordinator here today to read it to us for a change.
Yes,
awesome.
She actually has her bra this late.
I was going to say.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So I've been to the last couple of meetings, but it helps to bring a device to actually read the report with you. So I appreciate Kathy and Linda in the past reading the reports. But here we go. It's a nice short one this month. As we celebrate the 250th birthday of America, it's interesting to reflect on what has changed over the last 2.5 centuries. In the same way, NFB Newsline, has continued to evolve over the last 2.5 decades of its services. Probably should have had Brent hold the microphone up.
Are you sure?
Okay. I usually read one thing, but yep. When I'm doing this, it definitely helps to have it. Okay. NFB Newsline is available through the telephone access, website, email, in-your-pocket deliveries, and through the mobile app. News is quite literally at your fingertips. Our national NFB Newsline team, led by Jack Mendez, continues to work hard behind the scenes to modify the service. Recently, app updates were released important accessibility. Improvements to accessibility, article format, voiceover, iPad security, privacy, and security. Version 4 of the iPhone app also includes travel mode, enhanced reading features, and access to hundreds of additional magazine issues. The team has also begun hosting monthly Zoom meetings for coordinators, providing valuable training, updates, and opportunities for coordinators
across the country to share information and best practices. Several NFB Newsline sessions, informational sessions, were held at the NFB National Convention. Unfortunately, due to other convention responsibilities, I was unable to attend any of those sessions. Because this month's Board of Commissioners meeting is being held in late July, this quarterly report covers only May and June. Nebraska subscribers continue to maintain. Continue to maintain a steady subscriber base, serving approximately 2,180 readers. During both May and June. While subscriptions remain steady, users also remain strong during these 2 months. Subscribers logged nearly 15,000 call minutes, accessed content more than 6,200 times, and generated nearly 10,000 online sessions through the web and mobile app. Nebraska newspapers remain the most frequently accessed content, followed by national news, TV listings, breaking news online, and local weather. As fireworks light up the sky, celebrating 250 years of our nation's history, NFB Newsline continues to shine by providing timely, accessible information wherever and whenever our subscribers need it. The future is bright, and I look forward to providing updates in the months to come.
I don't know why I should be so excited. Okay.
I'm sure it's
fine. Yes, exactly. Okay, that's it. Any questions?
Questions from the board? All right, thank you very much, Jim. Next item on the agenda is officer elections. Before we get into that,